Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Glory to God. And it's
Yeah.
blood. Somebody praise him for the blood.
Hallelujah. His blood still works. Yes, it does, my brothers and sisters. Good evening and welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Kimberly Black, bringing you greetings from Portland, Oregon. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope and pray that you have had a blessed, wonderful Sunday afternoon. Truly, God has been good to us, and we owe him another praise, thanking him for life, health, and strength, the activities of our limbs, blessing us with a wonderful day of worship. Whether you were face-to-face or virtual, I hope and pray that the praise and worship was just what you needed, and the word came forth to bring you deliverance, healing, and salvation. Oh, bless the name of the Lord on tonight. We want to honor tonight the presence of the Lord. We honor God, our Savior, our Creator, the Creator of the universe, the Giver of life and all things thereof. We honor God and we honor his presence on tonight. We want to give love and respect to all of those that labor with us here in the city and that labor with us to make sure that week after week, we have access to this network to share with you the word of God. We thank God for the Butterfields who make this platform possible. Pastor Sherelle Pennington, amen. They are in Atlanta, Georgia, and we thank God for the work that God has given their hands. We thank God for those that labor with us right here in the city of Portland. Elder Dante Farmer, Elder Kathy Miniweather, we are truly blessed by the men and women of God who co-labor with us to make sure we are steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain. Such a body of Christ to work with and to share the gospel with and to advance the kingdom of God with. Most of all, such a team to work with to give the devil not one black eye, but two black eyes. Come on now. Amen. We want to honor our speaker on tonight. He is no guest. He is no stranger. He is our friend and our brother, Elder James Wooten, from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church right here in Portland, Oregon. He will be bringing forth the word on tonight. We have a few announcements. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, have a song of preparation, and then we will hear from Elder Wooten. I hope you are ready. I hope you've got your pen and pencils ready. I hope that you have your Bible ready because he's definitely going to preach from the word of God. He's going to give us some little nuggets that we can chew on the rest of the week to help us with our journey, to help us on our walk, to help us intensify our love relationship with the Lord. So I want y'all to get ready. I'm going to give you some time. Get your Bible, get your notepad, get your pen, pencil, because the man of God is going to come forth and bring forth the word of God that's going to speak directly to our situation. So I want you to be ready. I want you to miss the word on tonight. So as far as announcements, Holy Convocation 2021, time of fulfillment. My brothers and sisters, it is here. It is not coming. It is here. They started on today, July 11th, and it's going to go all the way until the 18th. There will be Zoom sessions Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. What you want to do is you want to register so that you can get access to these sessions. And all you have to do to register is go to www.comeintothelight.org. Once you get there, you will be able to register for the conference, the Holy Convocation Time of Fulfillment. I want you to know that they have an awesome good time in store. They begin every morning with morning glory at 8:30. They have day sessions. The evening session starts at 7 o'clock p.m. And we want to make sure we are there. This is a time of refreshing, a time of prayer, praise, and worship. Want you to get excited, want you to tell somebody to join the Light of the World Covenant Fellowship International as they celebrate Holy Convocation 2021. On Saturday, July 17th at 10 o'clock a.m., our very own Archbishop Ruth Smith will be having an impartation session. So we want you to join in. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. And then Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m., their special guest is Apostle Dr. Stephen Amarty. Amen. And we want those that are in Stockbridge, Georgia, we want you to get there. Amen. The address is 5883 Highway. That's 155th North, Stockbridge, Georgia. We want you to get there. Amen. For those of us that are in Portland, Washington, California, it's virtual. So we can make it. Amen. All roads are leading to Georgia this week. Again, all you have to do to register for Holy Convocation is go to www.comeintothelight.org. Don't miss it. Amen. Don't miss it. Had the opportunity to attend 1 year. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it was a wonderful time of worship, a wonderful time of equipping the saints with the word of God, enlarging our territory. That's what Archbishop and Pastor Kevin Jones have planned for this week. Whether you are there or you are virtual, amen? So please register, and don't miss it, amen? Don't miss it. Also want to share with you that on next Sunday, July 18th, from 11:30 to 12:45 in the afternoon at the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church at 3535 Northeast Mallory, we will be having our first worship out of the box. You're saying, well, Pastor Black, what does that mean, worship out of the box? Well, that means we will be outside with worship, in our yard having worship. It will be a continuous flow of worship. Amen? A continuous flow of worship. We will also be giving out mental health and health care items and products. We have partnered with the Black Health, Mental Health Oregon and Metro Oregon to provide needed items to our community. We will have life jackets. We will have scales, bicycles, jump ropes, tennis shoes, prayerfully some exercise bikes. We will have food, we will have food boxes, and we will have live music. Yes, yes, yes. Our praise and worship team will be on, giving us worship continuously, flowing in the Spirit of the Lord. We will be there from 11:30 to 12:45. So we want you to come out and join us next Saturday for worship out of the box. And for those of you that live right here in the city of Portland, I want you to get ready, get ready, get ready, because all roads lead to where? Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church. Amen. The Union District Baptist Association will be having its 67th annual session, and that will begin Oh, my goodness. My phone has frozen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That will begin this week. There will be sessions Monday and Tuesday at Vancouver Avenue. They will start at 6:15 p.m. Amen. And if you can't get there, they definitely will be on Zoom and so or Facebook. So you can go to St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, or you can go to Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church to get on Facebook to be a participant of this time of worship. Amen. So we're just truly thankful to God for all of those announcements. If you have announcements that you would like to share with us and you want us to make those announcements, please feel free to email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. We will gladly share your event. We will gladly share your announcement. And we want you to know that we will let everyone know that they can come and worship with you at your place when you say it's time to worship. Amen. So please send us your announcements and we will gladly share them. Amen. It's time for us to go to the throne of grace. It's time for us to prepare our hearts and minds to get ready to receive what the Lord has for us on tonight. Truly, we are thankful to God for our speaker. And I hope and pray that you are ready to receive a word on tonight. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. We thank you, O God, for your grace. Father, we thank you for being so kind and so patient, so loving and so forgiving. Father, we ask, O God, that you would forgive us of all of our sins and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that you would create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we want to be right. We want to be pleasing in your sight. We want you to get the glory out of our lives. And so, Father, as Paul tells us in Romans 12, that we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. So, Father, tonight we come before your throne of grace, prepared to worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh God, we come before you tonight, lifting up, oh God, your children to you. Those, God, that are hung down, bowed down heads, Father, those who are perplexed in their spirit, those who have an infirmity in their body. Father, we know your word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them from them all. And so, God, we come tonight lifting up your sons and your daughters. We might not be able to call them all by name, but you know them, Father, because you created them. You know the number of hair on their head. You know the days of their lives. You know the moment, the hour. You know what they're thinking right now. You know what they're going to be doing in the next 5 minutes. God, so we ask that you would dispatch your guardian angels, that you would send forth your power, that you would send forth healing virtue, that you would send forth transforming power, that you would send forth, oh God, salvation now, deliverance now to your children. Oh God, come quickly. Come in a hurry and see about your children. Lift up our hung down heads. Take away the garment of heaviness and give us the spirit of praise. Help us, oh God, to seek your face now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you tonight. Touch the sick, Lord. Touch those that are grieving. Touch, oh God, those that have lost hope, that have lost their way, who have said in their heart that there is no God. Touch them tonight. Help them to know that you are the way, the truth, and the light. Help them to know that there is no other God but you. And it's you they must confess. It's your name, Jesus, that they must confess and believe in their hearts that God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of their sins. Help them to believe, oh God, that you're gone, but you're coming back again. And we will, Father, be so careful to continue to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for the healing, for the deliverance, for the breakthrough, for the victory, oh God, for the signs and wonders, for the miracles that you're going to perform before us, oh God. Oh God, yes, we're next in line. We're next in line. We're next in line with our hearts, God, and our hands lifted up and our mouths filled with praise, with a song of thanksgiving, Father. We will bless you and we will praise you, oh God. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, and we bless you tonight, Lord God. We ask that you would bless the man of God that's coming forth to proclaim your word, Father. Take him deep down into the hidden treasures of your word. Saturate his heart, his mind, his mouth, oh God, with your spirit. His ears that he may hear and he may speak what thus saith the Lord. Oh God, stir up his spirit now, God, with the word that you place within his belly, that as it begins to come forth, God, it will bring forth a healing, a deliverance to your sons and your daughters. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen.
You refine our hearts, Lord. You refine our hearts, Lord. Sanctify my heart, Lord. Sanctify my heart, Lord. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need to see.
you ask him, but you gotta say it out of your own mouth. Say it, say it.
Praise God in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you, but if your heart is not set and just ready to hear right word tonight, you have missed this preparation from that mighty awesome prayer to this wonderful worship music. First of all, we give thanks this evening to God of our lives and to Pastor Craig L. Brown and First Lady Angela Brown from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, to Pastor Black, and to all of those that have made this ministry possible. We just thank you and welcome you this evening. And I just pray that you would just get a blessing from the word this evening. You know, today and this week has just been one of those weeks where it just seems like things have been running and running and running and running over and over from one thing to another. And I know some of you can relate to what I'm saying this evening, because you've had times in your life where it just seems like you've never had enough time to do the things that you need to do. It seems like your list is longer than the amount of time that you have. But yet at the end of the day, you still somehow manage to get everything done, but you find yourself just racing and racing and racing. And, you know, speaking of racing, when I think about this particular week and how the Olympics is starting up, I know some of you are familiar with the story of the U.S. sprinter who pulled from the Olympic team, you know, because of her run-in with substance abuse. And, you know, in our lives, we go through situations where we make decisions and things happen that greatly impact our future, what it is that we can do, where we are currently, to what we've done in the past. And people sometimes want to quickly judge us based off of those situations, circumstances, and instances. And so today, this evening, I just want to talk to you about race. I want to talk to you just that simple word race, because when it came to my mind, not only did I think about this young lady's incident and think about the situation that she's found herself in, but I also give credence to the temperature that has been going on in our own country dealing with racism, taking that word and adding an ism to it, dealing with racism and what that's meant to the current situation that's going on here in our country. And as I look around even the city of Portland and I see folks homeless and folks everywhere, I see folks constantly racing and racing and racing, trying to improve their situation and everyday lives. And if many of you know anything about racing, or know anything about whether it's racing a vehicle or racing, running a race yourself, whether a relay race or an individual race, you know that it requires some things in order for you to get ready, if you will, so that you can have the best turnout possible, or you can have the best results possible. And so the same thing can be said with our relationship with Christ, is that we must also understand in the word that it tells us that there is a preparation phase that we have in this race that we're running down here for Christ, that there is a doing phase, that there is an after phase where the reward is handed out to us for the race that we've run. But during that preparation phase, it means that we have to have active participation in that phase. So today I just want to share a brief word with you this evening on race and the way that I break down race, you can write this down. As Pastor Black says, you should have your pens ready. When we look at the R, we want to look at the R for redemption or repentance. You want to look at the A for affirmation or acceptance, affirmation or certification. And then look at the E for eternal life and education. And so when we first talk about repentance and redemption, Matthew 3 and 2 says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet Luke 17:3 says, forgiveness lets us know that forgiveness is dependent upon repentance. So I want to share with you, as far as repentance goes, there is four stages or four steps, if you will. There's responsibility, then regret, resolve, then repair. Responsibility, regret, resolve, and repair. So when we look at the first step of repentance being responsibility, first of all, we must recognize our wrong in that responsibility. You see, true repentance involves a sense of awareness of one's own guilt, sinfulness, and helplessness. And we the word of God backs this up in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verses 4 through 10, as well as Psalms 109, verses 21 and 22. It lets us know that true repentance involves a sense of awareness of one's own guilt, sinfulness, and helplessness. And so when we first of all have to be able to take responsibility for our own actions, for the things that we've done, when we want to seek true repentance or true redemption from God, from where we are, and we're tired of being where we are, and we seek true change. In order to get true change, we have to be ready and be able to come to God with a repentant heart and seek his redemptive plan. And so the first thing that we have to take is responsibility of our wrongdoing and the actions that we've done. Then we have to show true regret, show true remorse for the pain and problems caused by those actions that we've done, whether to someone else, whether we have done in certain circumstances or generally in the way that we've lived our lives. But we have to make sure that following the responsibility that we are taking for what has happened, we have to be able to show true regret of what of in our remorse of what it is, the actions that we've done, and how the outcome has affected those around us. Then thirdly, we must have and show a resolve. So commitment to change and avoid repeating the very act regardless of the temptation or situation. So resolve and avoiding the act of repeating it regardless of the temptation or situation. So understand, beloved, that the things that and the lifestyle that you have been living and the way that you have been going, the one thing assured that you know is that you are not pleased or happy with the direction that your life has been going in. Thus, you have sought to do something different, and you have sought out for God to give you a new start, to give you a new beginning, to give you a new opportunity to be able to have a do-over and to change the direction in which you've been going. So you went to God and said, Lord, I'm tired of being where I am. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm tired of being where I am. And so you come to this resolve where you have to show that you are committed to the change. And understand that that doesn't mean that change is going to be easy. I don't care whether it is that you have a drinking problem or you have a drug or you have a sex problem or you have a relationship problem or you have a lying problem or you have a commitment problem. Whatever the problem is, it's not just going to easily go away because you said it. or not they're willing to give that to you, God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Because true repentance means a change of attitude and action regarding sin. Hatred of sin turns the repentant person away from his or her sin to God. Did you catch that? The repentance means a change of attitude and action regarding sin. Hatred of sin turns the repentant person away from his or her sin to God. Amen. You can find this. I'm not just telling you this, but my job is to point out the word and then let you go and see for yourself. So you can find this in Psalms 119, the 128th verse, or you can flip over to Job also in the Old Testament, the 42nd chapter, verses 5 and 6. And while you're at it, go ahead and flip over to the New Testament and look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Because true repentance results in a radical and persistent pursuit of the holy, living, walking with God in obedience to his command. And it means that you seek to change truly. You see, God doesn't just change your mind, but God changes your heart. In thus changing your heart, he will change your attitude. He will change the way you walk. He will change the way you talk. He will change the environment that you're in. He will change the company that you keep. He will change the things that you do. He will change the places you go or what the activities that you engage in. You see, you begin to start to show a reflection of the repentance that you seek from God. Amen. And again, if you don't believe this, look over in 2 Timothy 2 and 19 through the 22nd verse. And 1 Peter 1 and 16, that true repentance results in a radical and persistent pursuit of the Holy Spirit, meaning that you will earnestly seek God. You will desire to seek God, and that will become your new addiction. It's where you can't get enough of him. And as the Beatitudes said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. You understand? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You understand? See, you got to be willing to run after God. Be willing to pursue that race. And understand, sometimes that race is not a short distance, but for other folks, it's going to take them a little longer to get there. That means that you might have to dodge a few potholes, that you might have to step over or run around a few puddles, and that means that you might have to jump over a few hurdles before you get to your final destination. Racing requires focusing on the current while learning from the past. Racing requires focusing on the current while learning from the past. This can also be applied to that wonderful thing that this country so vehemently struggle with, which is racism in here. And as I always tell people, is that concurring racism also calls for this as well as forgiveness and change. You see, in order to deal with racism, first of all, there has to be an acknowledgement that something was done wrong. And then you have to seek repentance and redemption to, in other words, be able to start leading sinners to repentance. Jesus is the restoration needed. You can find that in Luke 5 and 32. You see, because healing cannot begin unless repentance happens. Did you catch that? Healing cannot begin unless repentance happens. Luke 13 and 5 will confirm that. Then, once you've had repentance, then you can move on to acceptance or affirmation. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. John 1 and 19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 1 and 12 says, but to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And yet Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth, Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with our heart that that we believe and are justified, and with our mouth that we confess and are saved. You see, you then once you turn around and you have redemption and repentance to God, then you accept that what he did on the cross for you, when Jesus hung upon the cross and gave his life, that then you begin to accept that redemptive plan that he laid out so that you can be restored back to God. Thing about racing is racing requires acceptance of one's ability. The same thing can be said with racism. Racism requires acceptance of one's fault and affirmation of change. You see, our relationship with God also calls for acceptance and affirmation. So how can we be accepted by God? Well, there is only one way, although many try other methods of justification. They'll go out and try to create their own method. You see, we do not receive acceptance by good works. Romans 4, 1 and 8 tells us that. We do not receive acceptance by religious ritual. 4, 9 and 12 tells us that. See, it's not just good enough for you to do good by people and think that your works is going to carry you to glory. See, people must be able to see your relationship with God through your actions. They must be able to hear God's voice through your own mouth and your words that you are talking. They must be able to see Christ in action through the actions that you are carrying out. So it's not just good enough for us to go to church and shout amen and hallelujah in the sanctuary, but we need to make sure that we're taking that amen and hallelujah beyond the church walls and that we're going out in the highways and the byways, as Jesus has instructed us to do, and make sure that people are being affected, because sometimes we might be the only Christ that a person sees. That doesn't mean, beloved, that you're not going through something at the time that you are needed to show Christ. That doesn't mean that you are not coming out of something at the time that you are needed to show Christ. That does not mean that you are not about to go through something or that all is right with you, but you got to learn to press on in spite of what's going on. See, when you are in the middle of a race, sometimes you are tired and you are out of breath. Sometimes you are struggling and you got cramps going on. But you can't just stop in the middle of the race because of how you feel. You got to press on toward the mark in the high calling of Christ Jesus. If you want to reach that finish line, you got to have some determination to be able to press on and push on to get to that finish line. So you have that affirmation and acceptance that Jesus already ran the race for you and set it up for you. Now you got to run the race to meet him at the finish line because he stands there waiting for you. And you cannot just do good works to get yourself in there or religious rituals. We do not receive acceptance by keeping the law as well either. It's not just about knowing what the law is and what the law says or what the word of God says. You cannot just say, well, I know the Bible. The Bible has to be living and breathing in you, and people have to see the Bible manifested through you, through how you carry yourself, how you communicate, through the very actions and the things that you do. People have to see it in you. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, beloved, but that just means that because you are still a work in progress, but they must see Christ in you. Acceptance can only come through faith in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And we find this confirmation in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Then once you've had acceptance repentance and redemption, then you get to a point where your mind is set on acceptance and affirmation that he is Lord, that he has risen from the dead, and that we have rose with him, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, laid in a borrowed tomb, buried in a grave, rose on the third day, and now sits at the right hand of God, then you know that, and you accept that fact, then you know that you got up with him, then you can come to the certification or confirmation, because people don't have to tell you. You'll know for sure because you had confirmation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 gives us that confirmation. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You see, certification, John 3:33 says, whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. And then the confirmation we find where in John 14:15-26, that strengthening or deepening one's relationship with God. You see, God will often show you or lead you to a certain scripture that you need at that time, and then show you how to live that scripture out in your specific situation. This is one of the many ways God gives us confirmation of his promises, kept through the Bible in our lives, because it becomes a living, breathing, and he doesn't just tell us in the word, but we begin to manifest his word in our lives. See, certification requires, just like confirmation, us to live that scripture, not just read that scripture. See, your life should show actual signs that you are a child of God. Being a Christian is not merely enough. Faith without work is dead. Just like running a race requires training that will show during the race. It will show what kind of training you put in. If you turn around and only train for 5 minutes and you ate cookies and drink milk, it's going to show when you were trying to run that long race. But if you put in the time and you put in the work, it will manifest itself and show itself in the midst of that race. And the more harder you work, the more success you will see and enjoy. In your spiritual walk, the more time you spend with God, the more it will manifest itself in your life. The more you get into his word, the more you will seek and begin to understand what his word is saying to you in your life and being able to share that to those around you. Same thing for racism. Racism requires actual change, patience, and action. You can't just talk about racism or think that racism is going to be over because you had a black president or because you had a first black Supreme Court. It requires people to be willing to be able to have communication. And that communication means that you're going to have to talk about some things that are uncomfortable, that some things that have happened in the past that are scary. Because in order for you to be able to, and let me go back to it again, be able to repent and show redemption, you're going to have to bring that garbage up and acknowledge that it actually happened and have acceptance of what happened. And then you can begin to get confirmation where you are truly moving forward and healing is truly beginning when you have communication, because then action can truly follow and you can come up with a plausible plan and not just sugarcoating or putting a Band-Aid over a serious problem. Certification and confirmation is simply verification or final proof that God is not a man that he should lie. Then finally, eternal life and education. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Simply teach, show, and learn. John 10:27-28 says, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, our walk with God must be continuous, constant, and active. When we open our mouth, our words should reflect our relationship with Christ. Our actions should show our relationship with Christ. And our life experiences should reflect our relationship with Christ. See, when you race, you learn what is required beforehand, so as to give you greater success. You know what the race is requiring. You know how much training you got to put forth and the things you got to do. You see, resolving racism as well require education of the past, awareness of the present, and change for the future. You got to be willing to do all three. See, our relationship and walk with God also requires us to be listeners, doers, and living examples of his love for us in our lives. Beloved, I hope that this word on race somebody clear of some struggles today. I hope that you understand that Rome, as they say, was not built in one night, but understand that, as they say, we be made endure for overnight, but joy comes in the morning. And I need you to understand that, you know, as I look back on my life, I realized that every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. You see, when life is sweet, say thank you and celebrate. But when life is bitter, say thank you and grow. God bless each and every one of you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What did I say? I said, y'all, make sure you get your pen, your pencil, and your tablet out, because Elder Wooten was definitely going to give us something to ponder over, something to chew on all week long. I hope you got that acronym for grace. I hope you got those scriptures, because that truly was an awesome word from the Lord on tonight. Thank you so much, Elder Wooten, for speaking life into us and speaking a word of refreshing strength to us tonight. We thank God for his grace and his mercy. And tonight, when you think about God's grace, I hope you think about it in a different way on tonight and realize that we are obligated to share God's grace with everyone. Grace is not just for us, the church folk, the believers, the saved and sanctified. God's grace is for everyone. And if we would all see grace like Elder Wooten saw grace, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what a world this world would be. It would be such a wonderful place to be in. Well, my brothers and sisters, this concludes our night tonight. Our night of worship, our night of prayer, praise, and preaching. I hope and pray that you've been blessed by the word on tonight. I hope and pray that something has been said to encourage you and to strengthen you and to help you have a desire and a longing to experience God's grace and then to be a partaker of his grace. And not only that, but to share his grace with others. We thank God for you and you and you, and we thank God for Elder Wooten for speaking the word of God tonight and speaking much truth. Amen. Until next Sunday, may the grace of the Lord our God be with you. May he keep you as the apple of his eye. May he make his face shine upon you, give you grace, hope. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Before I spoke a word, singing over me, you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. I don't deserve